Day by day, as they gathered around, he would say things like, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah is soon to come, and you need to get ready for his appearance. I will baptize you today in water, but the one who is coming will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." He just told them like it was. And then one day, as he was preaching his heart out to a bunch of high school flunkies and university professors, gangsters and police officers, prostitutes and preachers, the man of the hour showed up. He cut his way through the crowd. He went right up to John. The two were face to face for the very first time. Yes, they were cousins, but they had never met before. But John still knew who he was dealing with. Jesus looked John square in the eye and he said, "I want you to baptize me." And for the first time in his life, this desert firebrand found himself shaking in his sandals. He said, "How could this be? How can I, a mere man, baptize the spotless Son of God?" So he said, "No, absolutely not. You should baptize me." And Jesus gently said, "Come on, let's do it. Let's go into the river to fulfill all righteousness." What in the world did Jesus have in mind when he said to fulfill all righteousness? I mean, why would the spotless Son of God need to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness? It's because Jesus understood prophecy. Jesus understood that this was a marker on the divine timetable, and this was the day for him to be baptized. But there's something else Jesus understood. Jesus is not only our Savior, Jesus is our example. So John took him into the water and leaned him back into the flow and brought him back up out of the water. The Bible is very clear about how Jesus was baptized. He was fully immersed in the water. And yet we are living in days where different people are baptized in different ways in different churches. In some churches, people are sprinkled with water. In other churches, they sit them down on a chair and they pour a pitcher of water or wine over their heads. There are churches where they will drop rose petals or sprinkle salt on their baptismal candidates. And they tell me that there are churches where you can get a mail order baptism. You call them up, give them your credit card number, and they'll give it to you over the phone or through your email or show up in your mailbox. So many different ways that different people are baptized in different churches, when the Bible tells us that there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The Bible is very consistent when it comes to this matter of how one is baptized. For example, Matthew and Mark tell us that John baptized people in the Jordan River. Matthew and Mark both tell us that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, and after he was baptized, he came up out of the water. John tells us in his gospel that John the Baptist was out near Anan, in Anan near Salim, because there was plenty of water there. When Philip baptized the secretary of the treasury from the country of Ethiopia, they both went down into the water and came up out of it. In fact, you'll be interested to know that the Greek word for baptism, the Greek word used in the original New Testament, is baptizo, which means to put under, to totally immerse. The method of baptism is so important is because it is attached, it is connected to the meaning and the essence of what baptism is all about. And there are four significant points here that we need to understand. The first of these is this. When we are baptized by immersion, we identify ourselves with the passion of Christ. This is a point that the Apostle Paul makes when he asks the question, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And so when we are baptized by immersion, we identify ourselves with the passion of Christ. We say, "I accept the death of Jesus Christ on my part. I believe that he was buried and he rose for my good." And we also celebrate our parallel experience in that we have died to sin. And our past has been buried, and we have been resurrected to a brand new life. There's a story told of a church who conducted an evangelistic series, and it was so exciting. 102 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so 102 people were all signed up to be baptized the next Sabbath. They all put their black robes on, and one by one, these men and women and children made their way into the baptistry, and they were baptized. And bit by bit, some of the black dye from their robes began to bleed into the water, and it started looking a little dirty. Well, there were two little boys sitting in the congregation, and one nudged the other, and he said, "How come the water's getting kind of dirty?" And the other boy said, matter-of-factly, "It's their sins. They're being washed away." When we are baptized by immersion, we identify with the passion of Christ. We accept Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on our behalf, and our sins are washed away. We are clean, and all is right with God. Now, the second thing that you need to know about the meaning of baptism is this. When we are baptized, we are making a public proclamation of an inward commitment to Jesus Christ. We're telling the whole world what has happened inside of our hearts. Now, it has been said that baptisms are a little bit like a wedding. In fact, I think we could call it a wedding in water. It is a public declaration of an inward commitment. Well, I remember many years ago, it was a cold, rainy night, and Linda and I decided to get off by ourselves just to be quiet. And I turned to her and I said, "Will you marry me?" And she looked back at me with her baby blue eyes and she said, "I don't want to marry a pastor." We had been dating seriously for 2.5 years. I thought I knew where this was going. And she said, "I don't want to marry a pastor." And I said, "I beg your pardon?" And she explained to me she wanted to get married to me, but not the job. Whoa, I felt a lot better then. So I slipped the watch on her wrist, and our hearts were all aglow. And 6 months later, we packed out a little country church with our family and friends, and we got married. Our private commitment that we made out there on Las Posadas Road in Angwin became public in the little mountaintop church with our family and friends. And that is the way it is with baptism. We make a commitment to Jesus Christ in our hearts. We make a decision to accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior. And then we make a public proclamation by being baptized. In Acts chapter 16, the story is told of the time when Paul and Silas were ministering in Philippi. And it created quite a ruckus. They got thrown into prison. They were beaten and locked up in these stocks. It was a miserable situation to be in. And instead of feeling sorry for themselves, we are told in Scripture, they performed the first gospel concert in all of Europe and brought the whole house down. I mean, the earthquake just leveled the place. And the poor prison warden thought that this was the end for him, because if any prisoners were lost, he would be executed. So he came running in to see what had happened, and there were all the prisoners standing there. There was Paul and Silas, and the man came under conviction. He cried out, "Sirs, gentlemen, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your household will be saved." And each one of them, each member of the family right there, made a commitment to Jesus Christ. They accepted Him as their Savior and Lord, and then they were taken to a public place and baptized. Baptism is a public declaration, a public testimony of our inner commitment to Jesus Christ. The third thing that we can see in the Scriptures is this. Baptism is the means by which we come into church membership. When Jesus was baptized, the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am very pleased." Folks, do you know what we have here? That is family talk. When you are baptized, you become a member of God's family. You become a member of the body of Christ. You become a living stone that is being used to build up God's spiritual house. You, like the 3,000 men, women, and children on the day of Pentecost, are converted and added to the, and baptized and added to the church. Now, someone has made the author observation that you can't marry Jethro without getting the clampets. You know what I mean? You can't marry Jethro without getting the clampets. And in the same way, you cannot unite your life to Jesus Christ without getting his family as well. I know there are a lot of people today, and this is a popular line of thought these days, that I can just be a Christian all on my own. I don't need organized religion. I don't need a church family. All I need is Jesus. I'm going to tell you very plainly, it just doesn't work that way. You see, God works in community. You have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They work in community, and God wants us to grow up in community as well. Babies need a family to love them and to help them to thrive, and we need a church family as well to help us grow. I mean, when you get to church, you learn very quickly, it's not about me. You got to be flexible. You got to give. You got to get beyond your selfishness to share. And that's part of growing up as a Christian, isn't it? You need a church family to help you grow in your Christian faith. Well, because baptism and coming into church membership go together, I think it would be a good idea if Roy and Denise came up here one more time. We want to give you your baptismal certificates and officially welcome you into our church family. Come on up here. Take a deep breath and smile. I had fun with them the other night. I was telling them, you folks laugh so easy and you're so relaxed, but you should have seen your faces at the wedding. It was just a month ago, and they were so, you were nervous, weren't you?
Yeah.
But you're with family. You're all right here.
I know.
But anyway, today we want to present you with the baptismal certificate. Take that and put it in a safe place and take it out and look at it from time to time and be reminded that you belong. And our church board is making the recommendation that these two people be voted into church membership. So what is your pleasure regarding that recommendation? Is there a second?
Yes.
Sounds like the vote's already taken, but would you like to say welcome?
Welcome.
God bless you. Now, before you go, before you go, we want to have a prayer with you.
Okay.
Father in heaven, we are so excited about the work that you have been doing in the lives of the Steves. All through this past year, we've seen you leading them step by step to make a commitment to you and to make changes in their lives and to be all aglow with your joy. Today, Lord, I pray that you will bless Roy and Denise in a very special way. Just as they have been baptized in water, I'm praying that you will now baptize them in your Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That their hearts will be sustained and continually kept aglow for you. That their witness for you will be strong all through the community. And I pray, too, that you will be with them as they discover their spiritual gifts and their special niche in church life, that they may serve with pleasure and delight and help in the building up of your cause. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you.